beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and also my co-host, Minister Robert Walker, Minister David Clifton, and our historian, Minister Ryan Fountain. Good for us to be here on today. We're glad to be here to be able to bring you the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save your souls. And just like the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as we often emphasize, this is the truth. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. Like the writer Isaiah said, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So we know the Bible is a puzzle that has to be put together. But you can't put it together without the Holy Ghost being your guide. And on today, my food for thought is Isaiah 43:10. Just one scripture. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. My food for thought, and I'm gonna try to keep this brief. This is a topic that we could actually teach on here in the near future. But it's coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 10, and it reads, Now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord, the Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there be no contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were we baptized in the name of Paul? And I'll stop right there, and my food for thought and my problem is we have people teaching now that Paul was dealing with the denominations that we have in the world today, and they're saying that, all these denominations that are proclaiming Christianity are dividing the body of Christ, and that we all need to come together and put all these differences aside. And the key thing that I would like to point out is all these men that Paul mentioned here, in verse number 12, although people were separating themselves unto these men were teaching the same thing. It is not like the denominations that we have today, Baptists and Church of God in Christ and Apostolic, and I could go on. The divisions are because of what they are all teaching, and they are not all teaching what the apostles taught, and that is why we have the division. We cannot take away the doctrine and just come together and worship Christ, because those that worship Him must worship Him not only in spirit, but in truth. And if you don't have the truth, you cannot worship Him correctly. You cannot go into His word and decipher or divide it correctly. That is why there are denominations. It is not so much what you call yourself. The most important thing is, are you doing what the Bible says? And what ends up coming out of that is there is denominations that are doing what the Bible says entirely, and there are some that are taking particular scriptures, using those and ignoring others. Amen?
Amen. Amen. My food for thought is very similar to Minister Clifton's. There is only one way in the body of Christ, and Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there are many ways of death. There are many ways that you could go, but they all end up in one place, and that's in judgment. That is death, the final death. But there is only one way that you can go where you will receive the eternal life that Jesus Christ has for you. And you have to follow after that way. You have to seek after that way in order to find it. Paul, we talked about last time that Paul went after those people after a certain way, that followed after a certain way, this way, and that he wasn't looking for anybody that was practicing regular old Judaism. He was looking for the people, Jews, that were practicing this religion, that preached of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that followed, that were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. So there's only one way.
All right, praise the Lord. My food for thought is coming out of 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 20 and 21. It says, "Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, mm-hmm. while the ark was a preparing,
mm-hmm.
wherein few, that is, eight souls,
mm-hmm.
were saved by water." Then it goes on in verse number 21 and says, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us,
mm-hmm.
not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism is essential for salvation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not possible for an individual to be saved unless they are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm saying that for my food for thought because I'm hearing individuals, even on today, say to me that baptism is not essential for salvation,
yeah.
and that is a lie from hell.
Right. And the Lord himself said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So baptism is essential to our salvation. And the one baptism is water and spirit. Like Jesus said unto Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit,
right.
he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Right.
And he said, that which is born of... Remember the question Nicodemus asked. How can a man be born when he is old?
Yes.
Question. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb?
Right.
Question. And Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That which is born of spirit is spirit.
Yes.
Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. He goes on to say, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, or where it willeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
yes.
there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as a fire. It is set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues
yeah.
as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Very good. Very
so
good.
We got to have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the truth is in Jesus, the writer says in the book of Ephesians. So we're taking our time to going through the book of Acts. And so we know that he said that they were to be witnesses. When they asked the question in the sixth verse of the first chapter, rewinding a little bit, of Acts, says that, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Question. The next verse he says, not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power,
yeah.
but you shall receive the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So thank God we're in that time, in that end time, when the gospel, Isaiah said, when he uttered the words Paul did in the book of Romans. He said the word went out, the sound went out in all the earth.
Yes.
So we don't know initially there's places that the gospel went that we don't totally have all knowledge of, but God has put his word out, and his word is not going to return void. And so with modern technology, we are coming to you by WWW, which is known as the World Wide Web. So it doesn't matter, as long as you can hear, because you can't hear without a preacher. And so we're sending, God's sending his word out because God uses human beings. And that was his whole thing. He always said that he has witnesses, and that was the scripture that I read back in Isaiah 43 and 10. So the Israelites, they knew that there was one God, and he let them know that they were his witnesses. And so today, that's what we want you to know, that somebody's got to be a witness. And like the scripture that was read by Minister Walker, Peter starts off saying that they were witnesses of the sufferings of Christ. And talking about baptism, says the like figure, he said, we're saved. He gives an analogy or a actual event about in the days of Noah, few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. He goes to say the like figure doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven.
Amen.
Angels and they're all made subject unto him. So it's all in the name of Jesus. And you got to have water, literally water.
Right.
And that's what we see as we go on in the scripture. And we just read about that, about the eunuch. Asked the question. He was a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?
Yeah. Right.
So Philip said, if thou believest all thy heart, thou mayest. Said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So he went down, went into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him.
Yeah.
So the only way you can be immersed in water is you got to go down in the water to be baptized.
Yeah. Yes, good.
So we left off here, I believe verse 6 right here, and about Apostle Paul, our apostle, getting ready to come on the scene. And we know when God changed you, and Paul wrote himself, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation, as we want to say it. He said, all old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So what am I saying? Out of all that we're going to see, when God saved this man, Paul, God dropped the S from his name and added a P.
Mm-hmm.
So he changed him. So here we see the sixth chapter the fifth chapter, we can just go there. Well, we go back to the fourth verse. And he fell on to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Jehovah, in the original text? We see Lord. He actually said, who art thou, Jehovah? And Jehovah said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He trembling and astonished said, Jehovah, what would thou have me to do? And Jehovah said unto him, arise and go into a city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. So we can see that slaps in the face and smashes all of that. These folks, the Lord is just steady speaking to them. Yeah, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, and the Lord told me this. The Lord is speaking all right, right in his word. Because you don't hear God that often in an audible voice. But God is a spirit. And man is a spirit, and God deals with our spirit, and God gives us his word. He deals with our heart or our spirit. So these folks, they act like God is just steady speaking to them all the time. And I don't know about all that. He ain't speaking like that because he's already spoke.
Right.
This is the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls, what he already left on record.
Mm-hmm.
And so he lets him know, arise and go into a city. Into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So I just want to say here, before we let our historian come in, we have two other accounts of the conversion of Saul. That is in the 22nd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and also the 26th chapter. We have other accounts of what happened. Apostle Paul is giving his testimony in the 22nd chapter of Acts, and he's also giving his testimony before King Agrippa in the 26th chapter of Acts. And some words he's saying, he said, they heard not the voice that spake with me. They heard a voice. They didn't hear what the voice that spake to him. So we can see how God deals with you, and God also deals with you in your native tongue. So Apostle Paul knew other languages, and that's why he said unto me in the Hebrew tongue.
Mm, right.
So Apostle Paul was a very technical person.
Amen. Last week we had a very good discussion. We started a good discussion that Paul had to go into the city and see a man.
Right.
And we talked about that the gospel is always carried in the hands of men.
Yes.
That the Lord was bound by his word that he could not give Paul the way of salvation. He had to send for a man.
Yes.
And he sent for a little old preacher by the name of Ananias. And Ananias was so fearful, he did not even want to preach to Paul, as we read on. He said, this man is the man that was coming to persecute. He was actually coming to persecute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was on his way to Damascus with letters to take them back to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So Ananias was fearful, and so Paul was left in the street for 3 days with no food, no water. He was sitting there blind because the Lord put scales over his eyes. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
So, but he had to have a man sent for to come to him to preach the word. And as we read on, looking in the 11th verse, he's talking to Ananias. He says, arise and go into the street, which is called straight.
Got a caller. Hold on a
second. Amen. We have a caller.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. They hung up.
Okay, we don't have a caller. In the 9th chapter, the 11th verse of the book of Acts, it says, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So Paul already knew Ananias was coming right here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul knew Ananias was coming. Ananias didn't know he was coming.
Right.
And Ananias didn't want to go, but he had to go because he had to be the man to lay his hand on Paul.
Right. So
there's a divine order right there.
Right. Right. Divine order, yes.
And God already told him.
And we go on, it says, because Ananias didn't want to go, I've heard many things about this man, how he's done evil against the saints at Jerusalem. And he's coming to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. That's Paul's threefold purpose with preaching the gospel. He was to preach to the Gentiles, he was to preach unto kings, and he was to preach unto Jews. And he had to keep, Paul's main focus was to keep Judaism out of the gospel, and to keep paganism out of the gospel.
Right, right.
Both of those things are not meant to be in the gospel.
Right.
The birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension are all parts of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
None of the chosen sacrifices, none of the offering of blood, because Jesus Christ offered his blood for us. So we have no need to offer sacrifices upon an altar. We have no need to bow down before images and groves and the such.
Mm-hmm.
We have no need to bow down before a cross or Mother Mary,
right,
a statue of a saint.
Right.
We have no need to do all of those things because Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us and gave his blood and took all of that out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So this is what this shows Paul's purpose right here, that he was to go into the Gentiles and take them out of paganism.
Yeah.
He was to go into kings and preach unto them.
Yeah.
And he was to go into the children of Israel and take them out of Judaism, because Judaism was not the chosen religion in that day.
Mm-hmm.
In times past, it was a past truth.
Yeah.
But if you're not in present truth, you don't have truth.
You don't have truth.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Very good.
So and then it says in verse 16, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. All right? And this is all for the namesake of Christ. If you have a red letter Bible, it shows it's in red letters. That means Jesus Christ is speaking right there. Amen?
Amen.
Um, And then it goes on and shows that Brother Saul was converted by Ananias. He received the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were scales, and he received his sight and arose and was what?
Baptized.
Once again, that shows that baptism is essential.
Right.
Ananias didn't go in there and preach nothing but the gospel.
Right.
And the gospel includes baptism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And as we go on, when Paul, as Elder Cannon spoke earlier, that there's two other accounts of this, and in the 22nd chapter, Ananias told him to arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So we know how Paul was baptized.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, and that was in the name of the Lord.
Right.
Yes, sir.
If you want to look at that, we'll get that at later, Acts 22 and 16.
Yes.
And as we go on, as he received, he was strengthened in certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. And he straightway preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God.
Yes.
So right away, Paul had the revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of God,
yes,
that he was the Messiah, that he was God manifested in the flesh. And
yes,
he was preaching that immediately after he was baptized.
Yeah.
It that means he got his calling immediately. And I believe he stayed in this city about 18 months before they actually chased him out, as we read on. All that heard them were amazed in verse 21 and said, "Is it not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" And Saul increased more in strength,
yes,
and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that he is the very Christ. How was he proving that he was the Christ?
Through the scriptures.
Through the scriptures.
Through the scriptures, yes.
That's how he was able to confound the Jews. That's the only way you can confound the Jews, is use the scriptures that they were using.
Yeah. Right.
So he wasn't using any scriptures outside of the ones that they were using.
Right.
He wasn't using anything outside of the Old Testament.
Right, right.
So he was confounding him in the scriptures and proving that Jesus was the Christ through the scriptures.
Yes.
And after so many days that the Jews took up counsel to kill him, and he had to be led out over the wall in a basket. And then around this time is when he went into Arabia for 3 years and studied the scriptures,
yes,
about the gospel and about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This, is it Corinthians?
Galatians.
Galatians,
yeah.
He talked about this. He went into,
yeah,
Arabia.
Yeah. Yeah, we thank God for that, while he's getting that. Yeah, so we see that the Lord always works on both ends, how the Lord had let Ananias know about this man.
Amen.
Apostle, he went on to be the Apostle Paul. But the 10th verse, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." He said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into a street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." And that's,
yes,
seen in the vision. A man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. So we can see how the Lord works. And that shows you the importance of knowing the Lord. Because Ananias knew God was talking to him.
Yes. Yes.
He wouldn't have went to this man.
Right.
It'd be like Charles Manson. This man is still living, who did these murderers back in the 60s and 69. In California, they were on the rampage.
Yes.
And a person like that, every time that he came up for parole, they'll never let him out. But the point being is, people would have been afraid of him, because,
mm-hmm,
it was so wicked. They showed all the evil things that they done, especially that couple that they killed that owned that grocery store,
yes,
the La Bianca. So we could see Apostle Paul was on that kind of level, where he was binding and hailing men and women, all that call on the name of the Lord and cause them to be put to death. And also, we see the account when Stephen was stoned. Saul was there, giving his consent unto his death. And even they said that they laid his clothes down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. So we can see how this man was. But one thing about this man, Saul, is that he knew that there was only one God.
Yes.
So he was teaching the way of Judaism before. So God gave him the revelation of the one. He found out that the very Jehovah that he knew to be the one God is the one God in the New Testament manifest in the flesh. Because he didn't know, but God gave him the revelation. So he increased more in strength and confounded the Jews with dread of Jerusalem, proving this is very Christ. And so, and a Jew, they know for a fact that there is only one God.
One God.
But the point being, they did not want to believe that the Messiah was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. And if I could, when Minister Fountain left off, he talked about how, verse 25, that the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And this is one reason you will hear us talk about right division of the word. Again, the Bible is not a book that you can just pick up and start from page one and read all the way through the end and get full understanding. The scriptures, the way that they are put together, and we know that the Lord had a lot to do with this, is sometimes you have to go back and forth throughout other books to get full understandings of everything.
Yeah.
So in Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter number one, I want to start at verse number, verse number 16, I will. It says, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. So this is Paul speaking here. Now understand this. He says immediately, and then he said he conferred not with flesh and blood. He goes on to say, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. When he says he conferred, not with flesh and blood, well, what then did he confer with? It was the Spirit. It was Jesus. So he was taught in Arabia by Christ himself in the Spirit for 3 years.
Yeah.
One of the things we have to understand is with the Apostle Paul, this had to take place in order for him to be called an apostle.
Yeah.
Yes.
The original 12 were taught by Jesus for 3 years.
Yes.
And later we see that Paul, a lot of times he had to make an effort to declare himself an apostle because it was not believed that he was. But he had to tell them, look, I was taught just like you were.
Mm-hmm.
He went out. So another problem, and you know, we talked about this before, about men nowadays calling themselves apostles.
Yes.
Well, another one of the qualifications is, not only did you have to assist in laying the foundation of the gospel,
right,
but you had to be taught directly by Christ
right.
for this three-year
and,
period.
Yeah,
right.
And in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, he's justifying his apostleship to the Corinthian church.
Yeah.
He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Christ our Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Are ye not my work in the Lord?
Yes.
If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am unto you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord.
Right.
See, they were his seal. They were the ones, they were one of the churches that he established. He established a foundation in Corinth.
Yeah.
He was actually their pastor for a while. He visited there more than any other church.
Yeah.
They were very dear, near and dear unto him. And he shows and proves that I have seen the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what he said in the first verse, that I have seen the Lord, and he actually taught him for 3 years in the deserts of Arabia.
Right.
He didn't teach him by some magical vision. He taught him through the scriptures.
Exactly.
He saw him visually. He was taught by him directly, but he was taught by the Holy Ghost through the scriptures.
Yeah. And then that's in 1 Corinthians 15:3, said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter,
mm-hmm.
then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all.
Yes.
Yet, not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Yes.
So, going back to verse number 9, verse number 8, and last of all, he was seen of me. I'd like to know if Apostle Paul said, and last of all, he was seen of me. Then is that the end? All of y'all that saying y'all apostles, have you seen the Lord?
Uh-huh. Right.
Is
Amen.
The question
right.
that you need to ask yourself.
If I could add on, not only did Paul, he said last of all, but flash forwarding, if you will, and not going too far when we get to the book of Revelation and we deal with the new city, Jerusalem, it has 12 foundations,
right?
And there's 12 names
right.
in those, amen? And
of the apostles.
Of the apostles, and also has 12 stones,
yeah.
which are representations of the 12
tribes of Israel. Right.
Of Israel.
Mm.
Right.
And Paul is known, or you can trace Paul back
yeah.
to the tribe of Benjamin. Amen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a lot of ways to verify what Paul was saying through the scriptures, but it's also another way to verify that he was indeed the last apostle,
yes.
no more
and
on earth today.
Yes, one more thing I want to say, having the right in the scripture that Minister Clifton read, just like he said, Paul didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Uh-huh.
He was just making a point that he sent him to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Somebody else can baptize, is what he was saying. He wasn't saying that baptism was not necessary.
Right.
And a lot of folks without the ghost of God, which is the Holy Ghost, they're saying, see, you don't have to be baptized. You're reading somebody else's mail because the epistles are for the church.
Amen.
They're for the people that already have the Holy Ghost.
And
so his emphasis that he's given, just like he said, he's making it plain that nobody is that important. He said, one watered, one planted, but God gives the increase.
Yes.
So neither is he that watereth anything, but he that planteth, but God that giveth the increase. So in other words, just like the Lord said back in the Old Testament, he said, it's not by might, nor by power,
mm-hmm.
but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord.
And, amen. And no way in that scripture does Paul refer to no one has to be baptized, that you don't have to be baptized. There was somebody baptizing there,
mm-hmm.
But it wasn't Paul.
Yeah.
Paul had another, he commissioned it out to another man
exactly.
to do the baptizing. So everyone got baptized, He said, I'm glad I didn't baptize you because you might say that I baptized in my own name
right.
instead of the name of Christ.
Yes.
So right. they were baptized, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
If we could, we can move on in the ninth chapter of Acts. After he escaped out of Damascus, it flash forward, we know that he was in Arabia for that 3 years, so this is a three-year period. There's a three-year gap in between 26 and 27.
Mm-hmm.
And that 3 years was in Arabia.
Yeah.
But then verse 27 says, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus
mm-hmm.
in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if we flash back forward into the book of Galatians, he explains this whole scene in verses 26 and 27,
yeah.
he goes into much more detail and explains how he went into Jerusalem and saw none of the apostles except for Peter, and he abode with Peter for 15 days, and then he was brought before James, the Lord's brother,
yeah.
verse 19, chapter number 1, and it says, now things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. So he's declaring that this is not a lie, this is the gospel truth.
Yes.
And afterwards he came to Syria and Sicilia, but then if we go down into the second chapter, it says, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now this is actually fast forwarding, and we might want to
yeah.
hold off on that because that's actually going into the 12th and 13th chapter.
Right.
So we'll hold off on that.
Yeah.
But he went back into Jerusalem and spoke with the apostles and proved that he was an apostle by the scriptures. And because they gave charges unto him, and he said, they added nothing unto me. And he declared that he was an apostle. They proved him. he stood before their judgment, and he was judged as being an apostle.
And they glorified God in him.
Amen.
But I like to go back to verse 27. I think some of you folks say you're preachers. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him, under them, how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that how he had spoken to him, talking about the Lord had spoken unto him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. People saying all of this, they're talking about money and programs and all of that. Are you talking about the name of Jesus when you preach? We've seen people, we've seen these sweet water preachers on TV just telling people all these nice things. They never said nothing about the name of Jesus. He said he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So are you preaching the name of Jesus is the question. Because salvation is in the name of Jesus. All this other stuff about you feeling nice and your best days are ahead of you. No, they ain't either. If you don't do right,
amen,
you'll end up in the hellhole. You got to do right. Ain't no sense in lying to people. You got to believe God. Your best days ain't. And we just, all of this stuff that's going on in the world, some folks don't believe that we're in the last days.
Right.
That, you know, God is letting these folks that call themselves being masterminds, this stuff ain't going to, some of this stuff that, like what happened in Times Square, didn't go off. But I got news for you. In the tribulation period, everything that meant to happen is going to happen because the devil going to be on the loose. So we better believe God.
Amen.
And then you got the only way you're going to get saved is by immersion in water in the name of Jesus. And then you can't go on. Ain't no, let's go on to perfection. No, you ain't going on nowhere if you ain't got saved first.
That's right.
Ain't no wife can declare no benefits of a man who she never married yet. You can't claim no benefits of the Lord until you take on his name by water baptism.
Let me ask this. When you see in the Old Testament, it was not until the children of Israel, they did not escape. I'll put it like this. They did not escape Pharaoh until they went through the water.
Yeah. Amen.
It was through the water.
Yes.
They escaped Pharaoh when they went through the water.
Yes.
The only way we're going to escape the things that's coming on the earth today is through the water.
Yes.
So
amen.
You have to be baptized.
Yes.
That's the only way we're going to escape what's coming up on the earth.
Yes.
That brings up a good point.
It does.
And I believe it's Exodus around the 13th, 14th chapter, it talks about that the cloud did not lead them, because there's a way that is much shorter into the land of Canaan.
Yes.
And they could have went that way.
Yes.
But they did not go that way because they would have been overtaken.
Yes.
They would have been overtaken by the Canaanites.
Yes.
And the Philistines.
Yes.
Amen. So they had to go through the water in order to get prepared.
Right.
Yes.
That water prepared them, because right after they went through that water, they came against the Amalekites and defeated them.
Yes.
So you have to have water.
Yes.
In order, and that water signifies the baptism.
Baptism.
Yes.
You see that in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter.
Yes.
That water was their baptism.
So they had to
be baptized before they could start the fight.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. And then see, here's what it is what people don't realize, that in water baptism, the same water that saves you destroys your enemies.
Right.
It's the same thing.
It's the same
thing. The same water. So you go through, they went through the water, and the water saved them. And I mean, when you think about it, you look back in retrospect, you think, like, what was Pharaoh and his army thinking about? When they saw that God had opened that sea up.
Mm-hmm.
God, the Bible said that the Lord, Moses cried out to God, and he sent an east wind, and there were waters on both sides.
Yeah.
They went through on dry ground. My question is, when you look back, what was Pharaoh and them thinking? If God opened that up, that he wasn't going to let it go back?
Amen.
To the current that it was?
Mm-hmm.
Let them all get in there. Like somebody said, you let them all get in there, and he killed them. So they saw the children of Israel saw their enemies
mm-hmm.
destroyed.
Right.
So it's the same thing even nowadays. When you're baptized into his death.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. In the 6th chapter of Romans, he says, we have been planted in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So he said, he that is dead is freed from sin.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much significance in the water baptism. And folks is fighting it. They don't want to. And so we see those group of people in the book of Matthew when Jesus say, they say, Lord, Lord. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, that he that doeth unto the will of my Father. Many shall say to me, come to me. They're going to say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in thy name? You know, cast out devils in thy name. And in thy name done many wonderful works.
Mm-hmm.
They're proposing that question. The Lord didn't say you did it. You saying you did it.
Amen.
He said, I'll profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important that it ain't, and it's not our doctrine, but it's the doctrine of the apostles.
Amen.
It's the Lord's doctrine, or it's the Lord's teaching.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I would say, most people, if their wife says she don't want their name, I don't know if he want to go ahead and marry her, because that's mm-hmm. to make a statement like that. That's why the Bible's talking in the book of James, talking about people blaspheming that worthy name by which ye are called.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you want to go down in water in the name of Jesus? Is a question you ought to ask yourself the next time you look in the mirror.
Amen, amen. And if I could, I just want to verify and clarify what Minister Walker said. Minister Fonson called the scripture 1 Corinthians chapter number 10.
Yeah.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant
right.
how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea.
Yes.
And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Yeah.
That cloud was a representation of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that water is a representation
the Holy
of
Ghost.
Being baptized
yeah.
in the water. And it was one baptism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another thing to add on is that same cloud,
mm-hmm.
that cloud that led the children of Israel by day
mm-hmm.
was a cloud. By night, it was fire. One cloud, two
yeah.
manifestations.
Yes.
It led them.
Right.
But
Amen.
That same cloud
yes.
blinded the enemies of the children of Israel.
Yeah, and they
yes,
had
sir.
To follow the cloud in order,
right.
in order to be guided.
Amen.
Yes,
so
yes,
you
sir.
Have to have the Holy Ghost. That,
yes.
that is a representation. You have to have the Holy Ghost to understand and to know where God wants to take you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And also, for those that are confounded or those that don't have that same spirit can blind you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So
yes.
We what we're doing here, what we're showing, again, as I said before, it's rightly divided in the scriptures, but we're showing you verification of things that we're saying. We're not just talking off the top of our head
right.
here. Many times the apostles, and I shouldn't say many times, all the times, they reference the Old Testament scriptures because that's all they had access
yeah,
to in that
right.
day. Amen.
Yeah. Right. And I found my scripture in Exodus. It's Exodus the 13th chapter and the 17th verse. It says, it came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go that God led them through the way, not through the way of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt.
Yes.
Yes, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt.
Yes.
So he did not lead them. There's no shortcuts in God. You
right.
have to go the way that God leads you.
Yes, sir.
And
right.
God,
yes, sir.
God led them through the water. God led them through baptism. Because if they were not prepared through baptism, they could not be have the power and the anointing
yes.
to go in and fight for the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
Up until their baptism, they could not fight because they didn't have no power. They
right.
had no anointing.
Yes. Yes.
It's only after that baptism and that cloud was leading them through that baptism. So we know that through the water, they had water and they had spirit because the spirit was in that cloud. It
yes,
was
sir.
In that fire.
Yes.
So that was what was leading them.
Yes.
But they couldn't take the shortcut through the Philistines'
mm-hmm.
land because if they saw war, they wouldn't have had water to protect them. They wouldn't have had water to guide them.
Yeah.
Amen?
And,
yeah.
And if you understand what Minister Fonda is saying, if you were able to, and you can, many Bibles have access to a map in that day, what he's saying by a shortcut is there was a quicker route the children of Israel could have taken
yeah.
to escape their enemies.
Yes. Yeah.
But as he said, they had to be baptized or they had to go through that water
yes.
first.
Yes.
It was a longer route.
Yes.
But
right.
they had to take that route in order to be prepared to fight their enemies.
Amen.
You
yes.
cannot fight against and preach against sin if you still have it attached to your body. Amen.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That is the purpose of the baptism. Let us clarify that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is to wash away your past sins, and that's why we say it is essential for the salvation of your soul.
Yes.
You cannot, and I will repeat, you cannot profess salvation if your past sins have not been washed away.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen. Yes. And also, I want to just make mention, whoever that caller was, you call us back. I just happened to catch you at the just before you hung up. But our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566.
Yes.
And then also understand, just like Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive, and the flesh profiteth nothing.
Amen.
And he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yes.
So this is why Jesus told Nicodemus when he came to him by night, except if man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So some things you can't see until you're born again, or you can't perceive, or you can't understand.
Yeah.
So folks is fighting stuff. They ain't arguing about when they get hired on a job, the benefits of that. They don't understand everything about the benefits and all, but they go ahead and start, and then they get a contract or they get a book with all the rules and all of that in there and all the benefits they got, and then they understand. And so you understand it better by and by. And we not, and the by and by that song, they don't make clarification of, it ain't going to be no, you aren't going to understand it when you get to heaven. No, you're going to understand it right now while you're here in the earth. So you got to receive salvation the way that the Bible says. And so, and then that's the only way you're going to get an understanding. And wisdom is the principal thing. And that's why Job said, but to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding.
Yes.
So you got to understand that God didn't just put that word in there for us not to believe it. And he didn't give it. And then that's an insult to God not to believe the men whom he chose, whom he gave his word to,
yes,
that they weren't going to carry out the vision that the Lord gave them to do. That's an insult to God not to believe them.
Yes.
So he left this on record. So I'm glad I've done it. I don't think nobody that's got it in their right mind, they're glad they got it. They wish they would have gotten it sooner, but we couldn't come until the Lord drawed us, and he gave us the word, and we believed the word. So it's good for that. And then also, I don't know if you down here at verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. So we can see, and so God can do that. It came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. But see, we can see, and that's what we're trying to do. We want to get a big fish, somebody that, and then everyone has influence on someone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want to do. Don't you want to get some works after you receive salvation? Don't you want to be able to tell somebody else about it? That's the way we've done in the world. When we thought we had some good weed or whatever, first thing we want to do is tell somebody else about it. So you receive the Holy Ghost, you definitely want to tell somebody else about it. That's eternal life.
Right. Amen. We've gone way out of the book of Acts, but we had to show you that we preached boldly in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
That we did some bold preaching in the name of Jesus, showing the baptism and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And we on this show preach that very boldly, just as Paul did in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And so moving on, we talked, Peter went down through the coast, dwelt at Lydda. It shows that he did healing. The man named Aeneas, he was sick of palsy. He arose. He rose the woman named Dorcas, and then as we move down, he arose, went with them. Verse 39, when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. This is where he raised her up. Um, And again, these are the miracles that followed after Peter, that followed after all the apostles. It just shows the miracles that followed after these men by preaching boldly in the name of Jesus, by preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So they were not going out seeking for miracles. They weren't going out seeking for great works. They were going out seeking souls and preaching unto them.
Yeah.
All right? And now we go on into the 10th chapter, which is a very pivotal chapter in the Bible. This is where the Gentile salvation is opened up, and by the Apostle Peter, that after this chapter, this is 10 years after the day of Pentecost, this is now where the ministry shifts from Jewish ministry to Gentile ministry.
Right.
And we are in this day, the ministry is almost exclusively Gentile ministry. There are very few Jewish ministries that are still out there preaching the name of Christ and preaching the baptism, but it is largely a Gentile ministry.
Yeah.
And this is the pivotal chapter where everything starts to change, because after this, Peter fades off the scene and Paul comes onto the scene.
Yeah.
Because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Just as the same transition from John the Baptist unto Jesus Christ is a very similar transition where he must decrease and I must increase.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But it's not Paul being increased, it's the God that's in Paul.
Yeah,
that's
right, yeah.
Right.
I think we should back up a little bit right here. This
Amen.
Is verse 37 in the 9th chapter, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick, talking about this woman, Dorcas,
mm-hmm.
and died.
Mm-hmm.
Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. See, back in those, there was a time when they didn't embalm people.
Yes.
So this woman was being ready, was prepared for burial. She had actually died. And so that she was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into an upper chamber, and all the widows stooped by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was yet with them.
Yes.
But Peter put them all forth. He put them out, kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. You imagine that? Go to that. Somebody, she actually died.
Yes.
The Bible said that means she was dead.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And so, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So that's why Jesus worked miracles.
Mm-hmm.
So people can believe. Nowadays, they keep saying, Sow a seed. And somebody tried to make the case about the little boy's lunch that he didn't have no choice but to give his lunch. But I take that, because I say this, that after that miracle when he fed the 5,000 men and women, besides women and children, they had 12 baskets full left.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't go home empty. He still was full, and I take that. But nowadays, what are you getting?
If I could, Elder, since you brought that out, verse number 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord.
Yeah.
Right.
And if we go back up to where the man had palsy for 8 years, verse number 35, and all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord.
Yeah.
When these people are being healed and they was being raised from the dead, they didn't turn unto Peter.
Right.
They didn't turn into the milk or we got that brother that like to dress up in all white and blow one in. You gotta come to his church and you tell, I've been sick for this many years and he blow on you, wave his hand. And now people are following after these men.
Yeah.
Or you have to mail your money in and they'll send you a cloth.
Yes.
But my point is people are running after the men.
Right.
But in the scriptures they was turning to the Lord because they understood where their help was coming from, amen?
Yes, and then nobody wants to serve, just like when Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal back in the book of Kings, nobody wants to serve a God that can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This God raised somebody from the dead. And he said, matter of fact, he said, he's not the God of the dead. but he's the God of the living.
Yes.
So he presented her alive. So we know our time is, we're going to go ahead and get started in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, but we got to sign off in a few minutes.
Okay, so, well, we might as well park our car in the 9th chapter, because the 10th chapter is going to take a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot being said in that about believing, but not just believing, but going through with the work.
Yes.
A work of faith.
Yes.
Amen. So we can park in the 9th chapter that we need to believe on the Lord.
Yes.
And there's many different works that happen that we can believe on the Lord through. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is powerful. Just like Minister Clifton just said, we were going back here, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner.
Amen.
So we can see when the man of God, the Apostle Peter, was a man that loved the Lord. Because I know people want to go back and talk about what he did before he got saved. We don't see Peter doing none of that no more. Peter is actually a man that is in the will of God, doing the will of God, not wasting no time. Everything he done, everywhere he went, we like to say in our days that people, everything that they touch turned to gold. Though this man was saving souls, and that's what the Lord told him. He said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. You love me? Feed my sheep.
Yes.
He said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things.
Yes.
So we can see this man proved his love for God by the things that he done.
Yes.
So we know our time is far spent on the day. We're going to see, just like Minister Fountain was saying, the ministry is turning, making another turn to the Gentiles. But you're going to see on next week, God willing, when we get in here, that how God is still a God of order.
Right.
Amen. Right.
Even though the angel spoke to this man, if we go on and see here that God is a God of order.
And this is the last part of the order of the initial commission where he said, go ye into Jerusalem and all of Judea and into Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And this is the last part of that order, the uttermost part of the earth, where he's now going unto those that were far off from God.
Right.
They were not near unto God. They were separated.
Yeah.
Paul says they had a partition between them.
Right.
And he's now breaking down that wall of partition.
Right.
And there's a major fight about this, and Peter has to justify himself in the 11th chapter. We will read all about this, but these men are now going to be allowed in. The Gentiles are now going to be allowed into the house of God. These are the sheep that were astray, and they're not of the flock,
right.
Not of the fold,
yes.
But needed to be called in John, the 10th chapter.
Yes.
Amen. So now we are now calling unto the sheep, and the sheep are now being led into the fold. Amen.
Yes. Yes. We'd like to thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.